Nearly half a million of you signed your name to tell Biden's Supreme Court Commission no to court packing. I'm Stuart Shepard, and this is First Liberty Live. Before we get started, thank you for liking and sharing our videos. You are an important part of this project, and I just want to say thank you in advance for helping get the word out about these important topics that we discuss. And this is a big one today. I've got Kelly Shackelford, who's president, CEO, and the chief counsel here at First Liberty Institute. Hi, Kelly.
Hey, Stuart.
It's always good to see you. Always good to have you on here. I want to start out by acknowledging all of the patriots who signed on to our letter that we're sending to the Supreme Court Commission, which has been tasked with finding a way to, I'm putting in air quotes, reform the Supreme Court by the president. Now, it's 2021, so we do these things electronically now, but we wanted to give you a mental picture. So if we were to print them out, the environmentalists would come after us for one, but also it would fill most all of these five boxes that we've got on the screen here behind us. If you sign the letter, that means your name is in there and it is going to the commission to voice that you as an American stand against that. Kelly, when you see those boxes and think about all the names that we'll be sending digitally to the commission, what's your reaction? What do you see?
I'm really encouraged. Just thank you, number one, that we've got really a great momentum started. I mean, when we said, you know, we'd like to move as close to a million as, I mean, we were at zero.
Yeah.
You know, and yet, you know, I got phone calls from people like Ed Meese, a former Attorney General of the United States, saying, I read the statement, Kelly, I think it's excellent. Would you mind if I signed on? And of course, I was like, well, absolutely. I said, what do I put underneath your name? He said, just put former Attorney General of the United States. I think that'll be okay. But you think of all the other people who've added their names. We're really creating a momentum that's really important because we're in a really key sort of window right now. The commission will be coming out in about a month with their recommendation to reform, which is ridiculous, our Supreme Court. So the pressure is all coming now. I think if we can last through the end of the year and maybe January, that we can stop this. And so the key is right now in the history, which I know we'll talk a little bit about some of this. The history shows that the only thing that stopped it last time was the people rose up. This is the beginning. This is the very beginning of the people rising up to stop something that, and I don't say this type of thing really ever, but that I don't think our country would recover from if it happened. So we've got to make sure we do everything in our power. We're in a short window. And so thank you for everybody who's been a part of this already.
Yeah, and to keep it in context, the signatures that we gathered that we're sending in, the commission asked for public input. Absolutely. So this is public input from all of you to the commission. But we're not done with the campaign. We're going to keep speaking out about this.
Now, this is the beginning. This will send a message to the commission. But I'm hoping that everybody who signed on to this, everybody watching this, will take the things at supremecoup.com that we have that make it real easy for them to tell other people, hey, you need to know about this and you need to sign on. I hope we more than surpass a million by the time we get to their recommendation.
Very good. So we still have it active on the website. If you'd like to add your name to that letter, we'd love to have you join. Just go to supremecoup.com. You can sign on there. Kelly, what's the significance of having so many people express their opposition to this? How does that speak into the process?
Well, I mean, something has to be done or else we could have a really bad situation. A lot of people don't understand. By the way, if people are watching and they're going, what is court packing? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Court packing is when you add justices to the Supreme Court or even judges to the lower court just to get to the political results you want to get to.
And so, by add judges, you don't mean one leaves, you put another one in. We're talking about adding an extra chair and an extra chair and an extra chair.
And in our case, this commission has been created by the President of the United States. A bill has been filed to add four justices to our Supreme Court. Another bill has been filed to add 203 lower court judges to our lower courts. This is court packing. It's when the party in power decides to just add judges or justices. People think it's bad because it's partisan, and it is. They think it's not good to go from left to right, right to left, to just jump. But it's actually much worse than that. And what the history shows you from all other countries, Venezuela, Argentina, you can look. You don't just go from left to right. You end the court as an independent body. You end the rule of law. And the reason is you're putting the judicial branch underneath the political branch. And you really lost your constitutional freedoms at that point. So it's something we have to make sure we stop. And so to go back to the beginning of your question, why are the numbers so important?
Yeah.
Back in 1936 and 37, when FDR tried to do this, very popular president, 80 Democrats out of 100 Senate seats, 80 out of 100. The only reason this was stopped was the American people rose up when they understood this. They said, this is tyranny. And they were averaging about 1,000 letters. The thing is, this is 1936, 37, 1,000 letters a day in Senate offices.
Wow.
That's what turned this around. So the American people is the only thing that can stop this from happening. The polling that we've done show the American people are against this, but 63% of Democrats are in favor of it. And I don't think they would be if they got educated, but the House, the Senate, the President are Democrat. So this easily could happen and our country would not recover. So we've got to really do a great job of building momentum, educating people in this short window to make sure this doesn't happen.
And you mentioned Ed Meese complimenting the letter. All of these people signed on to that letter. And I want to have you expand on some of the main points that are in there. If you've read it, it's well written. It's a good read. You don't have to be a lawyer to understand it. You can find it on supremecoup.com. But I'm going to ask you some of the key points out of there. This is from the introduction. It says, and this is a quote, partisan court reform proposals threaten the civil liberties of all Americans, and the political manipulation of our judiciary threatens the integrity of our constitutional democracy. Unpack that for us.
Well, it's part, you know, if you look at the Supreme Court or any court, you see Lady Justice with a blindfold over her face. She doesn't look at whether you're a Democrat or Republican. That's not how we're supposed to come to conclusions. Once you turn the courts into a partisan nature, you've destroyed the rule of law. You've destroyed the independence of the judiciary. No one should think that they're going to get justice. They'll get justice based upon who they are. And the best way, I think, to put this is whatever constitutional rights you think you have, at the moment they pack the court, they're over. Because you only have the constitutional rights which the majority party wishes you to have. Because if they want to take away a right, pick one. All they've got to do is add enough justices to get to the result they want to get to. So your rights are really gone. They're just political rights. They're no longer constitutional rights.
Right.
So this is a very, very dangerous thing that people, I don't think, understand how bad it is if you do it.
And we've seen in recent weeks, Justice Stephen Breyer, Justice Amy Coney Barrett, Justice Clarence Thomas, who is known on the court for not speaking very often, but he went out and publicly opposed this. So we tend to think in the political sphere of liberal and conservative, and often we'll refer to the members of the court that way. Really speaking to who put them on the court or their interpretation of the Constitution, but in this case, you've got Breyer, who we would most people would put in the liberal category. Mm-hmm. And then you've got two conservatives on the other far end of the court. I mean, Thomas, very, very conservative. But that's not the right way to look at the court, because most people would be shocked, I think, to find out how often the court rules 8-1, 9-0, that's 7-2. So they know that what you just said is true, and often is not. That's why they get along so well as justices, because they know that most of the time they agree on how things sit, even though they take a different view of the Constitution and how it should be interpreted.
Right, and I mean, let's add one to that list. Ruth Bader Ginsburg spoke out against this. So it's one of those things that even if you're a really left-wing person who wants really left-wing policy, you realize that if your country's gone, you can't really do that. So if you're on the court, whether you're left-wing or right-wing or middle or whatever, mm-hmm. you realize this is a horrible idea. This takes away the ability to go left or right. This pulls us into dictatorship, tyranny. Again, people think I'm being extreme. I'm not. Go to supremecoup.com. Look at the history. People wonder, what happened to Venezuela? How could it go to such a prosperous, free country to now such a tyranny, a dictatorship?
Yeah.
Court packing is what happened. And you'll see that throughout history. And so that's why this is much more serious than people realize. This actually could happen. And if it does, our country is over. And so that's why, you know, people say, why are you involved in court packing? Because religious freedom doesn't really do you any good if there are no courts. So we have got to take care of what's right in front of us now for the next maybe 3, maybe 4 months. And then I think the future looks incredible for religious freedom. But we've got to stop what is an existential threat to our country.
You mentioned a moment ago during the FDR presidency that this was attempted, and that's in the letter. I'm quoting again. This was attempted in 1937 by President Franklin Roosevelt. The Senate Judiciary Committee rejected it, calling it, quote, utterly dangerous. They went on to write that it amounts to nothing more, and this is a quote from them back in 1937, amounts to nothing more than the declaration that when the court stands in the way of a legislative enactment, the Congress may reverse the rule by enlarging the court. When such a principle is adopted, our constitutional system is overthrown. That's why we call it a coup,
because
even back then they saw this as overthrowing the government.
They did. That's what it is. Now, what they're describing is if what this means is whenever the legislature passes something, because that's what was happening here with FDR, he was mad that the Supreme Court said that some of the New Deal legislation, which was violating the Constitution because the federal government was taking powers it didn't have,
right.
He was mad that the Supreme Court struck them down. And what they're saying is, look, even though we were for that legislation, if we create a situation where now whenever you don't like what the Supreme Court does, you just add justices, then there are no constitutional rights. They didn't have the benefit of the Venezuela, all the things that would happen after them to see that this is actually, it gets worse than that.
Yeah.
You devolve very quickly into tyranny when this happens. They understood it was wrong. They just didn't even understand how wrong. They opposed their own popular president. They stopped him. It was incredible to see this. The guy who carried this in the Senate for the president died of a heart attack.
Wow.
Before it was over. That's the kind of pressure you can imagine when you have 80% of the Senate seats and you can't get something through the Senate as the president. Something serious is going on.
That's from the introduction of the letter. Then it goes on and it makes three key points. I'm going to toss each one to you, let you give a brief observation on them. And this is out of the analysis section. The first one is partisan court reform proposals threaten the constitutional rights of all Americans. You've covered that pretty well, but sum it up for us.
Well, it's you don't have constitutional rights. If you add justices, just like the quote we got earlier from the Judiciary Committee back in 1937, if you simply don't like a ruling and you just add justices to get to the ruling you want, there are no constitutional rights anymore because it's the political branch that is now controlling whether you have any rights or not, not
right.
The Constitution, and it's very dangerous.
Political is the second point. Political court reform measures threaten the separation of powers. That's something most of us talked about in high school,
yep.
Maybe in college, you know, depending on what you studied. Not something we think about day to day, even though we see it in action all the time. How does it threaten the separation of powers?
Well, one of the things that the founders were brilliant about is understanding that if you consolidate power in one place, it can be very dangerous. But if you separate it and you have somewhat, almost a little bit of balancing, if you have almost conflict, where one says, you're not getting all the power because I have some of the power.
Yeah.
We did that both in the three branches of government. You have an executive branch that has certain power, but not all power, the legislative branch, which has power, but not all power, and the judiciary, which has an independent power, but not all. Did the same thing with the states versus the federal. And so you saw them diffuse power amongst. When you destroy that, you move to tyranny. You move to dictatorship. Now one branch has all the power. In this case, they're going to start out with two. The president, let's say if the president and the Congress are the same party,
right.
They take over the courts. Well, you've now destroyed separation of powers, and you're going to go places you do not want to go.
And that bickering we see in D.C., it's not a flaw, it's a feature.
That's right.
I mean, that's how it's supposed to operate. It's supposed to be contentious. And then finally, the third point, Americans reject partisan efforts to pack the court, and they do.
The polling that we've done the most extensive polling on this, is very strong. Even before people are educated as to what this means, 67-68% of the country says no.
Yeah.
As you educate, it goes higher. Again, the danger is when we started this poll, 63% of Democrats were in favor. And we've made an influence on that. As I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, when you see the ads, when you see Ginsburg in our ads say this is a bad idea, when you see Breyer, it begins to impact you, and we've seen that impact. But we're not through with the danger now. We have 2 or 3 or 4 months where, and especially when this commission comes out with their recommendation.
Yeah, because they're going to come up with something. They're not going to do all that and say, we didn't come up with anything.
That's right. And there are lots of sort of in-between moves that are still court-packing type moves. We're going to strip away jurisdiction from the court when we don't like what they do.
We're going to do term limits on the court.
Yeah, there's all kinds of way where, again, the court loses its independence. It loses its ability to just say what the rule of law is. And now you're pulling that underneath the political branch. When you do that, you're really endangering our country. And so we have all got to be ready for what is about to come. The more momentum we can build right now is it's just very important that more and more people sort of join this army to stop the Supreme Court coup.
When I talk to people about this, especially those that haven't really thought about it, don't understand it, once it becomes clear to them exactly what we're talking about, it becomes blindingly clear to them, this is not just another political squabble. This isn't the crisis of the week. This really goes to the very heart of what makes America, America.
Yeah, how many times do you see the justices on the Supreme Court even speaking to an issue?
Hardly ever.
Much less liberals and conservatives speaking in unison. That tells you something about you're about to knock out the pillar that our country is built upon, and really why our Supreme Court, our system, is the envy of the world.
The very next thing that people bring up after they come to that realization is, oh, wait a minute, there are cases going to the court right now that I care about. Let's talk about the impact that that would have. What are some of the cases in this current term that are in the pipeline?
Well, you know, what happened with FDR is FDR did not win in getting court packing, but he so scared the court that they backed off for the next 10 years on issuing proper rulings.
Huh.
And that is the danger that we have right now. You've got all these big cases. You know, you've got the Dobbs case, which is really an attack on, well, I mean, going to decide whether Roe v. Wade is overturned or not, right? You've got the Second Amendment case that's there. Yeah. You've got our religious liberty case that we're doing with Institute for Justice that we're going to be arguing December 8th. That's going to be a really important case for religious freedom. If we win, which we expect to win, if we win, it will be clear, it'll be no question from then forward, in every situation where you have a school choice system, Christian religious schools must be included. That's significant. All these things are coming at them.
Yeah.
If they're scared that if they issue a proper ruling that there'll be a reaction, the temptation is for them to pull back, to not issue proper rulings. So the more we can make clear publicly that the country believes this is illegitimate, this what is being attempted or talked about, the better chance we get really solid rulings on the Constitution. So the term has just started. This court packing, part of it is to do it, which would be horrible. Part of it is to scare the justices out of doing their jobs. But if the American people rise up, it'll really put a backbone in anybody who would be tempted in that way.
So these signatures signal to the justices, we've got your back.
That's right. America does not support this. They know it's illegitimate. They're listening to what you're saying, and we're standing with you.
Anything else you'd like to share before I let you go?
This is an incredible time right now with a new term, with us having a case before the Supreme Court in less than 2 months. I would encourage people to pray. Number one. And number two, this is something, you know, people tell me all the time, I'm not a lawyer. I can't really. Here's something you can do. Okay. If you've signed it, grab more people to sign. It's easy to do. We've got it where you go to supremecoup.com. It's real easy to put memes up, different things. It's very user friendly.
Yep.
If you haven't signed it, sign it. And encourage other people to sign it, and we can build that momentum and really grow the army at just the right time.
Excellent. Kelly Shackelford, great chatting with you. I always learn something new when I talk to you.
Thank you, Stuart.
Very insightful. Hey, we have sent the letter, but this effort is not done, as you just heard. If you'd like to be part of it, if this matters to you, if our system of government is important to you and protecting it for the future for your children and grandchildren, we invite you to be part of this effort. You can just go to supremecoup.com. There's much more information there that you can read up on. There are videos that you can watch. And as Kelly mentioned, there's also shareable content if you want to put this in your social media channels to let your friends and family know about it. And while you're there, you can also click on the big red donate button. That will be your way of seeing that what you want done is accomplished through the work that we're doing here at First Liberty Institute. And in the meantime, we will keep you updated week to week right here on First Liberty Live.